Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
A lot of good things going on with the WBC. We are of the four quarterfinal matchups. Half of those are finished. Cuba is in one semifinal. Japan, who has not lost a game yet at all, is in the other semifinal. The third quarterfinal matchup is tonight. Mexico and Puerto Rico. And we'll have the fourth quarterfinal game on Saturday, USA, Venezuela. Let's start with the positives of this WBC, John, because I think many people outside of the game had forgotten how exciting this World Baseball Classic could be. Of course, we had one wiped out because of COVID. And so it's been, 2017 was the last WBC. So we're 6 years removed from the last one. And I think everybody's being reminded of how intense and how fun these games actually are.
Yeah, as you can see behind me, if you're watching, some of you might be, I'm in Miami. It has been a thrill in Miami. It's been amazing for those of us who go to Lone Depot Park a lot and see basically almost no fans there. Now we are seeing almost a full house. 28,000 has been the average attendance.
Wow.
The fans that are there are just chanting, and dancing, and excited, and great matchups. That pool was incredible, and obviously there were three great teams in it, and we had to say goodbye to Dominican, which is one of the best teams, but certainly Puerto Rico, Venezuela, two of the best, moving on, and in very, very exciting fashion. I mean, those lineups... those three lineups were almost all-star lineups, much like the U.S. lineup. And we saw some of the best in the world play and really, really great competition down here.
It's the amazing thing about the game of baseball itself. Unlike football, unlike basketball, anybody can be beat on any given day. And that goes true for those games. But generally speaking, if you got the best players in basketball and football, you're winning those games.
Right.
Dominican, I think by all accounts, had the best roster up and down. And as you mentioned, because of the group that they were paired in with Venezuela, with Puerto Rico, they end up the ones going home. And I know for folks in San Diego, they're quite happy about that because three of their major guys will be coming back early.
Yeah.
But that is the beautiful thing about the game of baseball is that anybody can be beat in those nine innings.
Absolutely. And I'm with you. Dominican on paper looks like, one of the three top teams, and they're gone. Didn't even make the final eight. But Puerto Rico and Venezuela are obviously excellent teams as well. They were in a tough bracket. I think MLB did it for the excitement of the bracket, and possibly logistically, geographically, it kind of fit. You know, maybe they could add two host cities that were in this area, Miami, maybe, and then maybe in the DR or somewhere else, Mexico, something like that, to spread it out a little bit more. I did hear complaints that Japan had an easy road. I mean, Japan is clearly one of the best teams, and their pitching staff is just a killer. I mean, when you've got Yamamoto pitching three, and I don't blame them for setting up this way with Darvish and Otani is 1-2-1. Their pitching is just better than everybody else's, and they're probably the favorite. I thought that going in. They've won it in the past a couple of times. And, I do hear complaints that their road was easier. Maybe it was, but someone's got a chance to beat them now that they're going to be in the final four. They're going to be facing good teams, and if they're the best, they'll end up winning. But it was a tough road for Puerto Rico and for for Venezuela
and
certainly for the Dominican. And say goodbye to the Dominican.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think it's a tough argument for anybody arguing that Japan didn't have probably the easier road of the major teams that were expected to win. That's a tough argument. In terms of USA, they found a way. They get through the pool play. They slide into that quarterfinal. That lineup ultimately will be the thing, I think, that ultimately will get them over the hump if they're able to win this thing. When you look at the top of that lineup and you got Betts and Trout, and if they're doing their thing, they're going to be tough to beat. You saw Arenado, Goldschmidt, those guys. That lineup is pretty formidable. They end up getting into the quarterfinal on basically Mike Trout's back. He drives in all three runs. They win 3-2, and it was a close game against Colombia, but they move to the quarterfinals. They'll face that Venezuela team who really has impressed. And it's funny that we kind of overlooked that Venezuela squad, because when you sit down and you look at that roster, you look at lineup, they're really good players, really good players.
Yeah, I mean, Venezuela is outstanding as well. So this is no gimme for the U.S. They struggled. I mean, lost to Mexico. They just won their last game by a run. You're right, Trout. Again, another reminder that he's one of the greatest players of all time. And yeah, when you start with Betts and Trout, I do think the U.S. has the best lineup, but you know, understandably, they're not with their very top pitchers who, you know, are in spring training. Many of them are older, and, you know, it's be a risk. If you're 40 years old, you know, it's tough to get over there and, you know, not just stay on your routine with your team and, you know, make sure that your arm is fine. You know, it's very sensitive. Being a pitcher, you know, it's very difficult, and you certainly don't want to risk any injury at all. So I get that Verlander, Scherzer, Cole, Fried, Cease. I mean, I think our top 12 pitchers or so really were not on that team, starters. Anyway, I give credit to the guys who did go and representing our country and, you know, give them all the credit in the world. But, you know, the reality is Japan just has better pitching than we do. And, that's why I think everybody probably acknowledges, if you're realistic, that they're the favorite.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, we've really highlighted the positives of it. There has been a negative, and it's really every manager's, every organization's nightmare scenario, a guy getting hurt. And in this case, it wasn't even actually playing the game of baseball. He gets Edwin Diaz, ends up tearing his patella tendon in his knee, celebrating the victory, the upset victory by many standards of the Dominican. And now the Mets are without a closer for the rest of the season.
Yeah, a devastating loss for the Mets, no question about it. I mean, obviously they have the highest payroll ever and a stacked team, $364 million payroll, now $344 million without Diaz. You know, I mean, Steve Cohen gets to save the money, $20 million. He doesn't care. I mean, I was texting with him and telling him that there's WBC insurance. I mean, he really had no interest in the money. He wants it. He doesn't need it.
Sure.
$20 million is nothing to him, not to you and me, but to him it's nothing. And, you know, they're all very upset with the Mets. You know, they're not going to come out and blast the WBC or anything like that. It's a freak injury. Could happen anywhere. Of course, there's really not celebrations in spring game, unless you're the Marlins, of course. They celebrate their victories in spring training. They win so infrequently, but nobody else is celebrating in spring training. I mean, that's a fluke injury. We've seen it before. Kendrys Morales got hurt.
That's right.
And there were other guys who have gotten hurt. It's very rare that would happen. Obviously, these are great athletes in great shape, and you don't think that jumping up and down is going to injure somebody, but it did in this case. I don't think anyone should look at it as a knock on the WBC. You know, could happen anywhere, anytime. We saw Gavin Lux go out with the Dodgers playing in a spring game. You know, so far we've had that one injury. Obviously, it's a bad one with the Mets, and it's a very big loss for the Mets. Very unfortunate. You know, they do have David Robertson. It's hard to pick up a great closer now in terms of trade. But, you know, I don't think it means that we should start arguing to get rid of the WBC because, you know, injuries occur, and they sometimes occur in freak accidents.
Yeah, I think I personally think it's a lazy argument to argue that they shouldn't be playing the WBC because, as you mentioned, I watched Gavin Lux go down against the Padres running the bases in a meaningless game, right? It's spring training. All right. These games are technically meaningless with the exception of trying to get yourself ready for the regular season. Edwin Diaz was still doing that. He was just doing it in games that actually felt like they mattered. At least they certainly mattered to the countries that were in it. So it is. It's a freak accident for Edwin Diaz. My question for you, and it sucks that in the business this is where we end up going, but is there options out there for the Mets to maybe add a closer, bring somebody in to fill that spot?
Yeah, I mean, the one obvious name, and I know it's obvious because even people on my desk were texting me about it. How about his brother? You know, Alexis, who is with the Reds. They're not going to win this year. He's a relief pitcher on the Reds. And, you know, it's his brother, and, you know, he's very good. But, you know, he's got 5 years to go. If he was a free agent after the year, I could see the Reds trading him. With 5 years to go, I can't imagine that the Reds would trade him without wanting, you know, absolutely one of the best prospects that the Mets have. And you really just can't give up a Brett Beatty or a Francisco Alvarez for a reliever. And he's not, you know, he could be their closer, but he was not last year. But, right. You know, he's obviously very talented. He averaged 12 strikeouts per nine, not Edwin. Edwin averaged 17 strikeouts per nine. You're not going to replace that. And for Mets fans, you're missing excitement too, because I know you guys in San Diego are familiar with great walking songs.
The horns. And
you had Trevor Hoffman in here, right, the horns for Edwin Diaz. The Mets do a great job now. I mean, the last couple of years, they really put an effort into it, into making it entertaining throughout the game. And certainly that was part of it, that Narco song, which we all loved. I don't think you can play it for the replacement closer. It's not really going to be the same. Nobody's going to be as automatic as he was. And, you know, it's definitely a big loss, but they still have a very good – I know it's hard for Mets fans to think about it, and I try to tell them what to be thankful about in my column today in the Post, and I don't think anybody was reading it or listening or thinking about that, and they're all upset. And I get it. I mean, he's one of the best in the game and one of the most fun and a great guy and just unfortunate – freak accident. The WBC, these guys take it seriously and they want to win. And there's probably a little more chance for injury, particularly among the pitchers who are going all out, than there would be in a regular spring game. And we have not seen that occur, but a very small extra chance for an injury potentially. But, I mean, it is adding terrific excitement throughout the world, not just here, particularly in Japan and in Latin America, and they're up for it. So, I don't think this is the death knell or anything close to that for the WBC. Certainly there will be people out there saying that, most of them living in Queens and Brooklyn and Long Island. But it's just an unfortunate happenstance, and hopefully that's the only one.
I thought Francisco Lindor's comments were very telling in how players of his ilk feel about the WBC. I think he said something along the lines, I get it. Nobody wants to see injuries, and people say that we're getting hurt for no reason, but we care about winning this tournament. And, you know, I think that's a sentiment that a lot of guys who are participating, they genuinely feel that way about this tournament.
Sure. I mean, look at all the players who are over there playing. The best players in the world, Manny Machado. If you name the best 10 players in the world, more than half of them are there. Trout's there. Machado's there. Soto is there. It's funny how many of these guys are on the Padres. Bogaerts was there briefly until the Netherlands got thrown out quickly. You know, Lindor, obviously. Look at that Puerto Rico team. They're exceptional. Baez is there.
Alonso, I mean, yeah.
And how about Ohtani? I mean, Ohtani's got $500 million on the line, and he's out there pitching, hitting. He was the MVP of that bracket, as he's, we mentioned. It was a weak he's throwing bracket, a, but he's the MVP he's of any bracket.
He's throwing 102. You can't tell me that he's not not taking it seriously right now.
I mean, the guy's a competitor, right? Whatever you think about Ohtani, I mean, he loves the game and he loves to play hit and pitch. And it's amazing. And he just wants to play. I mean, there would be a lot of players and a lot of player agents who would discourage him from doing anything and would keep him under, you know, keep him under wraps for the next 6 months until he's got that free agent contract of $500 million plus.
Yeah.
We
and I get that thought. I get that thought, but this is the essence of sports, right? When we all started playing this game, we wanted, or any game for that matter, we wanted to play because you wanted to measure yourself up against the best. And that's what all of these dudes who are making millions and millions of dollars are putting that aside to do just that, to put to measure themselves up against the best. And it's been a good, great tournament this far.
And when you say we, you mean you and the other players, not me. I can measure
myself up against
the mediocre and not hope for the best, but I certainly didn't want to measure myself up against the best. But yes, I get your point, Tony.
Fair
you and other great baseball players.